Hello and welcome to Changing the Record, the podcast that is setting the record straight on growing older in Greater Manchester by charting stories and views of life over 50 and challenging stereotypes linked to ageing. Changing the Record is brought to you by community reporters who have teamed up for the Talking About My Generation campaign. Find out more at yellowjigsaw.co.uk/talkingaboutmygeneration.
So I'm joined today by two of our reporters from the Talking About My Generation newsroom, and I will get them to introduce themselves in a bit of a Cilla Black, who you are and where'd you come from style. So who would like to go first?
All right, I'm Bob. I'm from Tameside. I report around things around Tameside and Greater Manchester. I'm got involved in this project close and getting on for 1.5 years now, I think. Looking forward to the second birthday. We were looking forward to the first birthday, but unfortunately it got postponed due to the coronavirus. At the minute, talking from my dining room, my wife's trying to be very, very quiet upstairs while she does her phone call, and I've turned my radio off, so hopefully we won't get disturbed too much.
You've jinxed it now. Thanks, Bob. Who else have we got on the podcast chat today?
Right, this is Jean. I'm from Chadderton in Oldham. I've been with Talking About My Generation for a similar time to Bob. My interest is in photography, so I've enjoyed taking pictures for Talking About My Generation. I have a partner who lives 9 miles away, so we have not been able to really get together. So it's just me here.
Affecting everybody, Jean, isn't it? Not being able to get out.
Yep. And how have you both adapted to what I personally felt was a bit of a shock, being told to not leave the house? It's not something I've ever experienced before. So how has that felt?
Well, I think for me, it's been a bit surreal. I mean, I'm used to going out probably 2 or 3 times a week, or at least having the family around. That's just been a non-starter. We had my wife's birthday last Friday, and that was even more surreal. The family came round, they rang the doorbell and then ran to the top of the drive, and each of them started singing happy birthday while we were stood at the doorstep. So that was really bizarre, but we tried to make the most of it. I mean, we've been very, very careful not going out at all, and we're very, very fortunate that our son-in-law works for one of the big supermarket chains, and he's very kindly offered to do our shopping. So he does that every Wednesday for us, which is fabulous. So we've not needed to go out at all, which has been great.
How about you, Jean? How have you adapted?
Yeah, I could do with
a different situation living on your own.
I could do with a son-in-law that could do my shopping, right? Well, as I said, I would call myself an extreme introvert, so I've really enjoyed being in the garden, and the weather's helped, so I've gardened most days, actually.
How are you going on for your shopping, Jean?
Yeah, well, I've been shopping. I've been shopping, yeah. Standing in line. It's not much different, except you've got to stand in line now, haven't you? Yeah.
Have you been worried while you've been going shopping?
No.
No, not at all.
I've had enough serious illness to sort of think, you know, whatever, I'll get through this, whatever. So, no, I haven't been freaked by it. I'm more freaked by people wearing masks and such. There was a bloke in Sainsbury's wearing a Stars and Stripes bandana, and I thought, oh, that's not going to save you, mate. I won't rely on them. So I've been Skyping my partner quite a lot. That's been quite funny. Because she's not very technically minded, so I've been shouting at her, turn your speakers on, such like. She did cycle up the other day, and we had this conversation, you know, sort of one, as you said, one end of the garden that lasted not very long, because she then realised that it was getting on. It was about 8 o'clock, and she didn't have any lights with her, so she had to go and say, right, I'm going.
I think what's been what's been magnificent for me is the fact that this technology that we've got today.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can all stay in touch, and it used to be just, you know, telephone calls and things like that. Now we can, like Jean said, we can Skype, we can FaceTime, we can use the social media one where you can do a video call as well, which Facebook does one, doesn't it? WhatsApp does one. Quite a few that do them. And I think that's a massive advancement in helping people get through this, because otherwise, as Jean said, you become very, very lonely. And loneliness and isolation is one of the things that obviously be trying to combat.
Yeah. Have you both found that the people you know, your family and friends, have been embracing all these new ways of keeping in touch?
Yeah, definitely for me anyway. We FaceTime at least twice a week, and obviously we did a bit more with it being Dawn's birthday. We like to thank certain people. Still got some friends who have not really come up to the tech generation yet, so we just use the phone for them, really.
But you've still got the trusty landline, so there's still a way.
This is true.
As somebody said on the radio, you're in contact with more people through social media that you would not have been in touch with if we didn't have it. It's interesting.
I would agree with that. I'm definitely being more proactive with the way that I'm keeping in touch with family and friends in a way that I probably took for granted when I could have easily seen them and perhaps didn't before lockdown. So it's definitely something that I'm going to try and continue once we're all free and able to see people again. Just that making the effort, really.
Yeah. Dawn, my wife, sent out quite a number of cards to people who we wouldn't normally talk to or see just before Easter. Amazingly got there the following day on second class post. It was unbelievable. But since then, the post has been ridiculous. But they got back to us, you know, one couple in particular who we're friends with since we've been in our 20s. They said, we must do this once a month now. We must get in touch once a month.
I said, and that was the trusty traditional postal service.
Yeah. It's taken exactly 7 days for Dawn's cards to arrive, the majority of them.
I love that, though. I love that you've been embracing those traditional forms as well as, you know, picking up your phone or your laptop and starting a Skype call.
That's I think it's easy just to do something electronically, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've lost, I think, as a nation, we've lost the art of writing, sending things through the post. And we just wanted to do something just because of this difficult time. I mean, Dawn said that she fancied doing it, so I designed a card and did that.
Wrote in them
and sent them off. We've had some really nice responses from people. It's been good.
There is something quite special about receiving something in the post. That added effort, isn't it, that just makes it seem a lot more thoughtful.
Yeah.
So you've talked a bit about the ways that you've kept connected with family and friends, but I know both Jean and Bob are ridiculously busy, usually, outside of lockdown. They're reporters for us at Talking About My Generation, but I can't imagine how full their diaries are with lots of other commitments that they've got on. So I'm interested to know how you've been able to keep going with some of those commitments or how you've generally just kept busy during lockdown.
After you, Jean.
Well, a lot of the stuff that I was doing, I'm not doing because, you know, we would be face to face.
Well, with me particularly, I mean, a lot of my work I can do home based anyway. I do a lot of the designing and logos and Photoshop. But like Jean, I have an interest in photography as well, so I've been doing bits on that. It's given me some time to go through my thousands and thousands of images and finally sort them out for a change. You just save them to your computer because the hard drives on computers are getting massive now. You just save them on there and then probably never look at them again for months and months, sometimes years. I mean, I've started off this week going through images I took in 2014. And just labelling them. And it's been a bit of a task trying to research where I took them. You forget where you've taken the images. If you've gone to, say, a historic building, you've taken some architecture, a church, and you just forgot where it was. So I could do
that quite a definitely bit of one of those admin tasks that you just wouldn't get round to doing if you weren't forced to in lockdown, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I've been putting a daily picture on Facebook and put one of, I think it was a bluebell, and somebody said, oh, it makes me really sad that because I won't get to see them this year. So I've had to moderate it. I think the big thing I'm missing is going to the theatre. Like, I have a season ticket for two theatres. So the National Theatre broadcasts I've enjoyed, but I could have done with more of them because they're only once a week and they stay on YouTube just for a week.
I saw The Man with Two Governors.
Oh, wasn't that fantastic? I was crying with laughter.
Absolutely amazing. I couldn't believe how long it was.
Yeah, James.
I've seen it locally, at a local theatre. Some time ago, and it was nowhere near as long as that.
But James Corden was just outstanding.
Phenomenal.
I had every intention to watch that and I missed it. So what's up this week?
It's Treasure Island on Thursday.
It's great that you can get your theatre fix, albeit on YouTube.
Yeah.
I know you've been going out in the garden as well.
Yeah, I planted quite a few veg now. And I've done a lot of weeding and grass cutting and I'm just sanding my garden bench down to varnish it. So they're going to run out eventually, these jobs, folks.
I'm going to have a harvest of all harvests. With all this planting you do.
I hope so, yeah. I might have to start on housework, though. That's where it's going to go wrong.
Don't worry. We'll keep you busy before that happens. You can avoid it for as long as possible.
I've avoided it for many years.
Well, I know both. A weekend, we should have been going on holiday.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
where should Scotland. You be going?
We're going to Scotland with some friends. Booked it quite some time ago. It's a driving tour of 11 days, 9 accommodations. And it was a task actually scheduling it all. And then we've got to go and cancel. Well, not cancel. We've tried to move it all to the same time next year. We're just waiting for two people to get back to us to say we can do that. And the rest of them have accommodated us for next year, which is good.
Yeah, it's good that you can postpone it.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called the North Coast 500. It just starts at Inverness. It goes all around the coast and ends back at Inverness. Takes
some decent photography.
Absolutely. That was one of the reasons for doing it. A friend of mine did it, I think it was early last year, and said it was phenomenal. But he did it as an organised tour, which is quite expensive. So me being tight, shall we say, I decided that we'd do it ourselves. And it's been okay. It's just, it took about a week in the planning. But then, of course, it all got kibosh.
You'll be at a bit of a loss or a loose end next week when you know you're meant to be on holiday, or have you got plans to keep distracted?
And I think Yellow Jigsaw is going to keep me in work for a bit, yeah.
Yeah, we do our best.
Yeah.
So you talked about how we keep connected with family and friends. You're both doing a pretty good job of keeping busy in the house. We've touched on sort of life events that are happening that would have happened anyway, but they're made all the more difficult when they happen in lockdown, from Easter to birthdays and things like that. So how have you found getting the right support to get through those sorts of experiences?
Oh, it's difficult, that one. My partner's a support. I think amazingly, a number of people who, after my brother died, have come up and said, you know, I'm here, sort of thing. It's been phenomenal. I have a good friend who's a counsellor who I can turn to. But to be honest, I think I use main resources.
It's difficult. Is that when you say a counsellor, do you mean a medical counsellor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I thought you were friendly with one of the old one councils.
I'm actually very friendly with quite a few of them, but no, I don't think I'd go more into them.
Yeah. I have in the past, but they don't do anything.
No.
Yeah, we've actually got 5 birthdays this month. It's amazing in the family. And, you know, it starts off with Dawn's, and then it's just for the rest of the month. Even my eldest daughter's in this month as well, and it's going to be really, really strange. It really is, but we've got to stay safe, and that's that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're both getting the support and the connections that you need when you need them. Would that be a fair judgment to make?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm, as you know, I'm a Christian, so I go to church on a Sunday. That's been quite strange, although the church I go to have been absolutely fabulous at creating something for YouTube.
Yeah, so you've just had Easter. How does a Christian who's part of a big supportive community celebrate Easter in isolation?
Well, we had services online. And if you watch it online with your computer or tablet or phone, you can be interactive with it and leave comments and things. We actually watched it on our television. We have a smart TV, so I have YouTube through that. So we don't do the interactive bit, but it's been really good. It started off, obviously, with Good Friday. The big man got persecuted. And then Sunday, where the resurrection, which has been really good. And they put it across really well. I mean, if you look at the first episode they did when they decided to close the church, it was, to say the least, a bit amateurish. And then we got this guy on board from church, he must be fabulous, and he's turned it around, and we've got some really, really good stuff on now. Obviously only suitable if you follow Christianity. If you don't follow Christianity, then it's no use to you at all. But it's been good for us. It's been really good. And we've carried on our house group. We have a house group every Tuesday. We've carried on that within our own homes, which has been good as well.
It's amazing, isn't it, really, how communities and individuals have been able to adapt so quickly and find alternative ways to carry on doing what they're used to doing. Is there anything that surprised you in lockdown?
How many people have got in touch?
It surprised me how quiet it is, and I'm really enjoying that.
The downside for me is the amount of people who are just ignoring the recommendations from the government.
Mm.
I mean, we've seen people even on our estate who are just think it's a laugh. I think it's a joke. They're just out and about all day. You're supposed to go out once a day for a maximum of an hour. And they're just up and down the street walking the dog every 5 minutes. You know, it's just ridiculous. I don't know where they're coming from.
What did you mean, Jean, by quiet? As in where you live?
Yeah.
With traffic dying down and stuff.
Traffic and people, you know, being about, to be quite honest. It's not a mad estate, but it has its moments. And of course, everybody's just keeping inside, so we're not having daft behaviour.
Sounds like you're in a much more sensible estate than Bob.
I think the thing is for us is that our estate is a family estate. I mean, we've been in this house since we got married nearly 42 years ago. So we've seen people grow up and leave and families move house and things, and we just stay where we are. Because it's a family estate and we have a school on the estate and the children are not in school anymore, you see more and more people in the streets because of the children. I mean, they don't want to be cooped up inside the house all day. You know, so we take them out. And we're quite fortunate we live near some field that overlooks Staley Bridge, and they all go on the field, some playing football, some walking the dog, some playing other game, which is fine as long as they do it in moderation and they do away from everybody else.
Yeah.
They just see the local news, because I follow the local news in Tameside. And there's so many reports. I mean, there was a report in the Manchester Evening News this week, I think it was only yesterday, actually, about how many people had parties the police had to attend. I think it was 1,008.
Really?
Yeah. House parties, 1,008 house parties. It's just astonishing.
So every story like that, you've got another one of someone who's gone out of their way to respect social distancing. I mean, I know at the weekend, talking about my generation, shared a story about Matt Phillips from Gatley, who hosted an outdoor concert for his neighbours. But people still respected social distancing. They did enjoy it, but they enjoyed it from afar. So you've got that mix, haven't you, really, of people really stepping up to it and others just having a complete disregard somehow for the rules, which I struggle to understand. Are there any behaviours or actions that you've adopted that you think you'll carry on with once we're all free and out of lockdown?
I would have liked to say the daily bike ride, but as I came down with something else last week, it stopped. But yeah, I would like to carry that on, even if it's only a short one.
Well, we live at the top of a big hill, so bike rides are not.
What an excuse! I'm an alderman, so I know about hills.
Yeah, you do. You're obviously much fitter than me, Jean. We did have some bikes, and then we probably in our 30s, we had some bikes. And fortunately, they got stolen out of the garage.
Oh.
Well,
that's when you're talking about holidays, we generally go, and I'm much tighter than you, because we generally go cycle camping. So, you know, we get a bit shocked when a campsite's £17 a night. Oh. Yeah. And it's been perfect camping.
Well, we used to caravan the last few weeks. So. Touring caravan. I think that started off about £6 a night. And then I said to them, as soon as this gets to £25 a night, I'm going to sell the caravan. And so I sold the caravan quite some years ago.
Tricky word. So the going out on your bike, Jean, has that been possible simply because you've got more time? So is it a case of slowing down or allowing yourself to have more time to do the things that you enjoy?
It's more inviting. Obviously, there's not much traffic on the roads, and so you don't experience as many people cutting you up, turning left, going in front of you. I have noticed, though, how fast some of the cars are going. I've noticed quite a lot of racing between cars, but that's not put me off. But I say it is much more inviting. Of course, the weather's been great, hasn't it? God, I sound like, sound like I'm fixated on the weather.
Well, living up north, you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
How about you, Bob? Any behaviour that you'd carry on? Is Dawn going to keep on writing these cards to friends and family?
I suspect not. We'd like to, but I suspect not. I think the thing is, we'll try to keep in touch with the couple who I said earlier on that said we should do this each month. I think we're going to try our best to do that and even go and see them and hopefully meet up. They are long-standing friends, and because they live in Bury, we live in Tameside, and we're all busy normally with our normal lives, you just seem to just not find the time. It's an excuse, I know, to say you don't find the time. I suppose, you know, being retired like we are, we can find the time if we want to. And this lockdown has emphasised that, because we have found time to do other things, even if it's only within the surroundings of our house. We have been doing different things than we would normally do each week.
And have you got any advice for any listeners who may, like Jean, be living alone, or like you, Bob, with a spouse and maybe struggling in lockdown? Is there anything that's particularly helped you that you'd recommend them giving a go?
As I mentioned earlier, for me, it's the technology.
Yeah.
If you manage to embrace the technology, and I can understand people being lonely, I get that, because you're on your own and you're looking at your four walls, and it must be a rens for people. I do feel for your Jean, you know, because it's not nice, especially if you've got a partner like you who lives a few miles away and you can't see them. That's even more frustrating, really. So I think if you can embrace the technology and use it to communicate, because that's really all we've got at the moment.
And even stuff that you're already on. I see that both of you are engaging with the Talking About My Generation Facebook page a lot, and we've seen a massive increase in people starting conversations on that page. So you don't necessarily need to become an expert in Skype or software that you may not be familiar with. It could just be a case of starting conversations on Facebook. You were going to say something, Jean?
Yeah, I'd agree with Bob about technology, but I think I'm very lucky with the person that's in my life, that they are so accepting and so adaptable to the situation as well. We've been able to, it's not going to, as with a certain illness that I had, our relationship became stronger. And I think this is making it even stronger still.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I agree with Jean there. I think what I was saying before about getting in contact with people who you haven't seen or haven't heard of for a long time, I think those relationships that you've always had, by doing what we're doing now at the moment, it will make those relationships a lot stronger.
Mm.
Whether it's a partner, whether it's a friend, or whether it's a neighbour. I mean, the amount of people we've spoke to have been neighbours. We don't normally speak to neighbours. Obviously, direct neighbours we do. People five or six doors away, we don't normally speak to. They're normally going to work, coming back. As I said, it's a family estate, so people these days have to go to work to pay for the house. But what we've found with this lockdown is that we're talking to more people, you know, especially on a Thursday night. You know, when they all go out on a Thursday night to clap for the NHS, the amount of people that have been out on the street, and we've just let on to them, waved to them and said, how are you doing? You know, do you need anything, that kind of thing? We've got an 83-year-old neighbour next door who's been here when the house was built. So she's been here 9 years longer than us, and we do things for her. She's got family just up the road as well, but if she needs anything, you know, she knows she can always knock on the door, or if she don't want to come out, just give us a ring. I mean, the other week, she said, I got a strange ring on the door, and I went out, and it was Sylvia next door, and she said, will you do me a favour, Bob? So I said, what's that? She said, will you take some pictures of me foot? What? She said, I've got this like really burning sensation on my foot, and it's all red and purpley and things. And because I can't go to the doctors, they said if I can send them some pictures, then they'll have a look at it and get back to me.
So my God.
Okay. So that was new one for me. And then she said, will you do me a favour and send them off for me, because I don't know how to do it. I said, yeah, okay. Anyway, she got it sorted. They just gave her some cream for it.
It's lucky to have a neighbour like you, Bob, that she can call on for that, though. It sounds like you are both quite lucky in the relationships that you have in your life.
Yeah, I am, really. I mean, don't get me wrong, I fell out with people. I don't speak to people who annoyed me sometimes, but I try to get on with most people. Sometimes it's my fault, sometimes it's their fault, sometimes you just drift apart. But when you're living next door to people, you have to get on. You know, there's no other way about it. And Sylvia next door, since she lost her husband quite some years ago now, we've always looked after her, really, and always. I do her bins every week, take them back in, and she very kindly buys me a bottle of wine every year. She's really good.
How are your neighbours, Jean?
I was just going to say, the neighbour at the back brings my bin in, so I'll have to buy something. She's not very active, so, I mean, she goes out of her way to do it, so that's lovely. The next door neighbours, people I've lived with for, I've no idea how long, 30 years, all the family moved to Australia a few years ago, and we were such good friends. So I've actually spoken to them this last few weeks on the phone. And the present neighbours, extremely quiet, just the presumed grandmother, doesn't speak much English, but I said, "Hiya, hello, do you want a plant?" sort of thing. So
I've got plenty.
Please take them.
You know, talking about photographing people's feet or whatever, it makes you wonder what's going to change. I mean, that itself could be a new innovation concept. You'd been consulting with your doctor over Facebook or whatever.
Yeah, Bob and Sylvia have proven it can happen. Yeah, it can work.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. My daughter, she had an infected finger, did the same thing, took a photograph, sent it off to the doctors, and they prescribed antibiotics for it.
Yeah.
There's going to be little reason to ever leave the house again, which I don't want to say that. But it is something that I've considered. You know, how are we going to adapt to actually living the lives we had, which would involve in travelling, moving about, working, volunteering, meeting people, a very different pace of life. How do you think you're going to adapt back to freedom?
Well, I can't wait to go back to normal, to be honest. I mean, and although I try and fill my days, I'm not a big reader. I'm trying to get through The Long Walk to Freedom by Nelson Mandela. And if you've ever seen the book, it's about 2.5 inches to 3 inches thick. It's a big book.
Quite a fitting title as well for the current situation.
Mm. Well, exactly, yeah. And that's part of the reason I picked it up, because I thought he must have some tips. Yeah.
But if you can learn from anyone, it's got to be Mandela, surely.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. But for me, I mean, it's been great being at home with Dawn, but also a challenge. I mean, we're not used to being in each other's pockets 24 hours a day, and
yeah.
We have had our disagreements over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
So you think you might find it quite easy to snap back into the routines we had before?
I will, definitely, yeah.
How about you, Jean?
No, I don't think I will. I'm going to have to really try. As I said before, I do enjoy my own company, and I quite get irritated quite easily by people. So I'm going to have to make a big effort with certain things.
Well, when this party gets rescheduled, Jean.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have you out on that one.
I won't have any problem with talking about my generation at all, but some of the things I might.
It's a good opportunity to reprioritise, isn't it?
Oh, insidious, yeah. Mm. It's Helen Mirren that said her one regret is that she'd not picked all people to go away, but it's stronger than that more often. I'm tempted to take that up.
Yeah.
Well, I think you should if Helen Mirren said it.
Well, I'm used to working with older people, so I'm all right. Even older than me.
And as Bob mentioned, we do have a party that sadly got postponed. Over 120 people were going to join us in Manchester City Centre to celebrate 1 year of talking about my generation. Sadly, that has been postponed, but the key word is it's been postponed and not cancelled. So we're excited to get everybody together and see them in person. We're ticking along nicely with news reporting virtually. So please do check out the Facebook page, Talking About My Generation, and our website of the same name, so that you can keep to date really with local stories about people across Greater Manchester who are changing the way we see growing older in our region. Is there anything you'd like to add, Jean and Bob?
I'd just like to say, in addition to what you've said, which was how fabulous the website and the Facebook, and I don't go on Twitter, so I don't know about Twitter, but particularly the website and Facebook, how fabulous the engagements have been. I mean, people are taking part in the quizzes, people are posting things to us, people are commenting on things, people are sending us stories. And I think a lot of it's been to do with the extra traffic that's gone through the website and the Facebook because of this COVID-19 lockdown.
Yeah, I'd agree. We've got a captive audience, haven't we?
Well, yeah. Let's hope we can continue to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that you're doing yourselves a disservice if you don't take some of the credit for the engagement, because we truly believe that the success of the news platform so far has been because you created it. So it's created by and for its intended audience. And there are not many news platforms like that out there, certainly not in Greater Manchester, and people connect that.
No, that's right. And I think we've all got our own interests, and we all adapt those interests for the content for Talking About My Generation project. It's been great.
Yeah, and you bring those interests to the platform, and thank God that you do, because that's what people are interested in. You're very interesting people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love listening to people's stories. It's great. And someday, Jane, I want to look at some of your photographs.
Oh, well, check out Facebook every day.
Well, do you want to send me a friend request?
Yeah, okay, I will do that, yeah.
And I'll reply to that, and then I can have a look at your photos.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Really appreciate you sharing your experiences of life in lockdown, and I really hope that it helps listeners maybe to try something new, whether that's new technology or have the confidence to get back out there once lockdown is over. What are your plans for this afternoon?
For me, I'm just started Next Magazine. I've got another quiz that I'm going to get underway, a photo quiz. Not all this afternoon, of course. And then to edit this podcast, of course.
We keep you busy, don't we, Bob?
Absolutely.
How about you, Jean?
Yeah, I think I might have to have that bike ride. I was going to say to people, just recognise your strengths at this time. Don't put yourself down, because I think everybody's found strengths that they didn't know they had.
And to add to that, Jean, shout about your strengths.
Yeah.
I know you said earlier on that you're a bit of an introvert, and that's not a bad thing. That's your character. But there's nothing wrong with shouting about your strength, promoting your strength. Yeah. And I would encourage you to do that if you can.
I don't think there's a better message to end this podcast on. So thank you so much. And like Jean says, remember your strengths and build on them as we get through lockdown. So hope everyone keeps safe and
thank
well
you.
And we'll speak to you very soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Changing the Record. By listening to our views and stories, you are helping to change the record of what it means to grow older in Greater Manchester. Join or follow our campaign to celebrate ageing and challenge stereotypes by visiting yellowjigsaw.co.uk/talkingaboutmygeneration.
The Talking About My Generation campaign is part of an Ambition for Ageing project with funding from the National Lottery Community Fund and is being co-delivered with the support of PR Social Enterprise Yellow Jigsaw and Age UK partners from Wigan, Salford, Tameside, Bury, Oldham, Rochdale, Bolton and Manchester.